everybody. Welcome back to the Mulder It's Us podcast, an X-Files podcast with Candy and Jen. I'm Jen.
I'm Candy.
And tonight, we are here to talk about X-Files Season 10. You know, talk about our lingering thoughts, talk about fan responses on the interwebs, and the apparent ongoing anger toward Chris Carter. Did I miss anything, Candy?
I think that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I think it's going to be kind of intense.
Well, I know you have already assembled some notes and have some thoughts. You want to kick it off?
Oh, okay.
Don't let that little groan fool you.
Right. I'm actually very excited.
Yeah.
You guys all just missed a conversation we had before we started recording, which was about all kinds of things, including Mitch Pileggi's wife and Christy Carlson Romano, which will make sense later. We talked about Even Stevens for a few minutes. It was pretty exciting.
It's quite the education.
It was good stuff.
Yeah.
It was gold, and we are sorry.
Yeah.
We weren't recording because it was pretty funny.
Well, you know, it seemed like an odd place to start. I mean, if we can circle back and capture some of that, you know, podcast magic, I'm sure. You know,
totally.
It'll be
totally.
And you'll finish the episode and say, thank you.
That was very informative and funny. Good job.
Witty, entertaining.
Really good reviews is what we're hoping for. Plug, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know, what the heck? You know, this is our, oh my gosh. So if there were there were six episodes.
Right. But the first one was a two.
Right. But then we did like kind of a preview. So it's technically our seventh go
we
at this.
We did two previews technically.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is eight?
Sure.
I don't know.
Math is not my
I've been mathing all day.
Yeah.
I am over
well,
it.
You know, tax season and all. Sorry. The shivers. Okay. Well, let's just jump in.
Good. Okay. So my first thing is the mythology is the biggest thing that irritates me that people are irritated by.
Mm-hmm.
Am I sitting properly?
It could be a little bit more straight. Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Is that better?
Okay. So maybe we should put like a little banner at the you know, listen up, people.
Yes.
Before you continue to complain about stuff,
right.
Candy's going to correct your ass right now.
Well, here's my thing. First of all, it's people seem to be complaining about the changing mythology, which isn't true. And I'm going to tell y'all why. Okay. I need to pick up my piece of paper with my notes. So if I cover my eyesight from you,
no,
I apologize. I'm totally not being rude. I promise.
You are in my head through the headphones and across the table. So
okay.
We're good.
I got all my little green highlighting. All right. My thing is this, that the mythology is going to change as the world changes. So it should not be a shock to anybody. You know, men in power and horrible things are happening. And those horrible things are a total secret conspiracy and everything's always running around you. That doesn't change. The environment changes. I actually have an equation here. Okay, which is circumstance times opportunity plus arsenal equals power. And that's all the mythology really is,
mm-hmm.
really has been and still is now.
Right.
The idea that it's changing is, you know, kind of just seems like a way for someone who doesn't understand it to knock it.
Right.
Is that crappy to say?
No, it's not. Because, I mean, again, you have the benefit of having watched, you know, I don't know how many times the entire series and I'm going through my second watch of it, and there were things that I definitely had kind of forgotten, so like to the point where if I had watched the episode when they were talking about the vaccinations without, you know, in the last 6 months having watched, you know, stuff that was coming up in season four and five, mostly four, I think, it would have seemed like, okay, yeah, you're changing stuff, and oh, you're just now, you know, it's 2016 and, you know, what are the hot button topics and, you know, what are people freaking out about? Oh, vaccinations. So let's say it's this. But no, they talked about this, again, not going to do the math, but I'm just going to shout out 20 years ago.
Right.
So from all along, they've been saying that this is how the virus, and they thought it was, you know, one thing at one point and then came to believe it was another thing. And just like science, you know, more information is available, more technology is available, things evolve. And the fact that if you expect them, you know, all these years later to be, you know, chasing the same thing and coming up with the same results.
Right.
That would be silly.
Fighting the same battle. That would be silly and boring.
Yeah.
Things
so
change.
They do change. And, you know, the information is different. And, you know, information technology, the access to stuff, more people coming forward. So, yeah, It makes sense. So continue.
Right? No, right? I mean, yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And it's something Chris Carter said. I'm probably going to shout out this little interview a couple of times, and I will also put the link somewhere, probably on Twitter.
Put it everywhere.
Just put it in all the places. It's the X-Files News, and they're fantastic. I totally love them. We love them. They have followed up. They're just wonderful. I think they're great, and they have a great site. But they do have a conference call interview with Chris Carter that was actually published on February 2nd.
Okay.
And I will put the link to that. But he does kind of address the things we just said, and one of the things he addresses is you know, as much as this was for the fans and everything else, the people who know the mythology, it also had to be something that was completely available to the casual viewer. So, you know, people like my mother, who did not really watch the first 9 seasons.
Right.
She could see this, and she was given just enough of the mythology, which is just a tiny taste of what it was. But it's still very, very connected to what it was. Right. And she was able to watch without having seen all of that. So it's really, really just kind of jerky to be like, everything's been changed and Chris Carter can't keep his shit straight. No. Chill out, because it's actually very true.
Right.
And to that end, I have some things written down.
Go for it.
Are you ready? It's a bit ridiculous.
Wait. I'm like literally bracing myself.
You should. Okay. So, I'm almost going to read this verbatim. Let's see what happens. Let's see if it sounds correct. The mythology is based on nefarious conspiracies. Very, very common in the real world and in science fiction. It's a huge basis for all kinds of stuff, right? So, born out of the need to save the human race, okay? Which is an interesting little side note, is that whoever does save the human race is going to be the person in charge, right? Power. The initial circumstances have changed. So I'm going to give a brief rundown of the mythology. Tell me if I'm wrong. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. So after becoming aware of an alien plan to invade the Earth, right? Years ago, when the cigarette smoking man and the syndicate were young, they buy some time. They buy some time by giving loved ones to the aliens to do whatever they want to do with.
Right.
And in that time, like 30 years or so, the syndicate does a few things. They try to, a vaccine for this virus. And then they also try to create alien human hybrids. The whole point is colonization is going to happen. And whether it be sometimes a good thing that the syndicate is doing, sometimes bad, either way, they're trying to save a portion of humanity in one way or another.
It's definitely, yes, it's definitely self-preservation in the most, you know, selfish way. I mean, they could say like, oh, you know, it's, you know, we have altruistic motives and we're trying to preserve humanity and we can't have everybody. So we're going to start with a small subset and then grow from there. But they're selfish. But
they're totally selfish.
And I mean, they've got the money and the power to do that.
Right. Just like every super important government on the planet in real life. Be afraid. Seriously.
Little bit. Yep.
So, basically, they're trying to either survive or stop the impending colonization, infection, whatever. There's another group of aliens, a second group of aliens that is, we don't know, they never actually tell us. They're either, it seems to me, the way I interpreted it, was that the other group of aliens, I can't think of what they're called right now, but they're the guys with the
bounty hunters. Oh, the ones
the bounty hunters, yeah. Yes.
And the
they're trying
masked over eyes and mouth.
Yes, which is so creepy and awesome.
Yeah.
They're trying to stop the alien colonization. And by doing so, they're trying to, they're just mass murdering people, whether you're good side, bad side, whatever.
Whether you're alien or human.
Right.
Or
you kind of get the idea that they've been chasing these aliens around the universe, that this is what they do.
Yeah.
So we don't know if the aliens are good or bad that are colonizing us, whatever. They're involved.
And you don't know if the bounty hunters are trying to, you know, stop this from happening because they want to be the supreme rulers or because they just know, well, this is no good and this is not going to end well for anybody.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. We never do kind of learn that.
No, which is okay because it's science fiction and that's kind of okay, which is another major point I have. And then there's this is where we find out about the categorizing of humans via the polio vaccine. That's really the first time when the polio vaccine started that people went in for vaccinations. So that was the first time that they had the ability to pull DNA, put things in, take things out, whatever it might be.
Yeah, tag.
So we have the vaccinations. And in doing that as well, we learn that we're all being categorized for whatever reason. This all flows. This mm-hmm. all works together. Yeah. There is so far.
And again, this is no decades confusion. In the making.
Exactly.
It's not out of nowhere.
Right. And you know, I think we've mentioned it before, but at the end of the soundtrack for the first movie, the hidden track is Chris Carter explaining all of the mythology up to that point.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions. It's a great soundtrack. Go ahead, pick it up. It's really awesome. It's totally in my iPod all the time.
Yeah.
It's a really good soundtrack.
Right.
It's great. Okay. Categorization. So then, this is also in line with the Syndicate's secret plans to avoid colonization while they're working with the aliens. So there's human abductions happening. Those human abductions, that's where Scully's taken. Mm-hmm. They're stealing Ova. They're doing mm-hmm. all of these things.
Yep.
They're creating, trying to create these human hybrids. They're also creating clones. The clones are used for many, many reasons, just mm-hmm. to perfect cloning. The mm-hmm. clones are used to do all kinds of crap for mm-hmm. the Syndicate. Maybe they're going to yeah. do things for the aliens too, whatever. They do all of these things together. So the idea of vaccinations and all of, and it being used for such a grand scale of things, mm-hmm. which is what we see in season 10, mm-hmm. is not changing the mythology. Now, the Syndicate's gone. They have right. all been killed. They're yeah. dead. Except.
And that was very rewarding to see in some of the situations. It was kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time one of them bit it, it was like, all right.
Yeah.
One more down.
Yeah.
Great. you know, except for CSM, who like eye roll, you know, makes
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. But they're gone. So he has no one to answer to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he now can kind of, God. He's the only person really mm-hmm. left in control. And there's a moment that he says, I think that it's during the flashback with Reyes.
Yes.
Where he says, you have no idea how well we planned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we already know the Syndicate had many, many secret things going on mm-hmm. they were trying to accomplish before colonization, which was supposed to happen in 2012. Whatever. So this is not a leap. This right. is not something to complain about. This all makes kind of a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely linear. I don't yeah. understand why people are so upset about it. And I really don't understand why anyone is shocked that, you know, things have changed. The Syndicate mm-hmm. is gone. The world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they put these things in to mm-hmm. kill the immune system, it could have been for any number of reasons. But now there's only one man left in power, and we know who he is, and we yeah. know that he doesn't want to answer to anybody. And
right.
no matter
and we know
what
his end game is,
right,
too.
No matter what, all of these scenarios and the overarching mythology kind of had to do with starting over,
mm-hmm.
eliminating a mass amount of the population, whether it be because the aliens did it or mm-hmm. we did it or whatever,
most
and
likely
starting
us.
From scratch. So it's not really a shock. So
right.
I don't really understand where all of this negativity is coming from.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have to wonder how much of it is just not remembering everything in as
yeah.
clear and sharp detail. You know, whether you watched it, you know, once a week for, you know, 9 years, or whether you binge watched it in a very short period of time. In both of those scenarios, your memory is going to be a little shoddy.
Absolutely.
So I've kind of done both. Like, I did it one way and now I'm doing it the other
right,
way.
Me too, yeah.
But it just, so I mean, part of it could be that. Part of it, you know, people remember the parts that they liked. And
yes,
of our friends, people are completely divided. Like, mm-hmm. like Kira's definitely more the monster of the week.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Steven, he's totally the mythology person. So, like, everybody remembers the parts that they liked. And, again, if you haven't watched it in so many years, yeah, the you know, the minute details and the, you know, the crux of it mm-hmm. may be lost in time. So
is it just another reason to hate Chris Carter? Does it just fall under that
no.
category? Because everyone kind of blames the mythology on him.
But I feel like he's paying very close attention to the playbook that he created.
Right. Right. I mean, even if there's something out there about how he, you know, wrote My Struggle 2 like weeks before they filmed it or whatever.
Right.
So what?
Yeah.
So what? They had oh. six things and he saw we got this much right. in. This is how I can close it out.
Right.
Like, it's not.
Oh, yeah. No, and I totally get that. I totally get that. You know, it seemed very plausible after the fact reading that was shot to be in sequence with My Struggle 1.
Right.
And then have the other ones. But then it seemed to, the way the story was unfolding and the narrative kind of rounding out the season, it made sense to put it at the end as opposed to
right.
a follow-up immediately after. And it also kind of bookends and balances the season.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And yeah. I feel like we can read as many interviews and articles as we mm-hmm. all want, but we're never going to know, you know, what actually happened, what transpired, what yeah. Chris and Glenn and mm-hmm. Darren, what they all discussed right. putting into this revival, and then how much they had to whittle out of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm picturing the editing of this. Oh. And I'm like, that must have been so painful because it's like, oh, but I love that scene, but
right.
it doesn't fit.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I love that scene, but it doesn't fit. So the one thing that I did take away from this is I can't stop thinking that, like, to me, this felt like, and I need to believe that this is just, you know, either the mid-season finale or, you know, season 10 finale. There has to be something else. Because I'm okay with a bit of a question mark. Like, sure. I actually have, like, personally, I have a list of, like, a dozen movies that ended, you know, 10 minutes too late. Like, I did not need to see everything all wrapped up. Like, I go back to Mystic River. I go back to Shawshank Redemption. I go back to a couple of movies where I'm like, I want it to be more of an unknown musing of a main character.
Right.
I don't need to see him actually meeting his friend on the beach and, like, yes. thinking everything's so perfect.
Yeah.
I don't need to see, you know, or hear this person give this amazing, you know, Oscar rally cry, like somebody like really, really trying hard for an Oscar speech. Like, I'm kind of like, I'm okay with the uncomfortable unknown, but in this particular case, so much was built up about, you know, William.
Right.
So much is built up about, I mean, crap, we don't know if, you know, the ship that shows up at the end is going to help. Like, Mulder, the antidote that Scully was able to miraculously develop and replicate.
Like an Easy Bake Oven situation? Yeah.
And that wasn't good enough for Mulder. So I'm like, I'm not okay with that. Like,
I want to know.
Like, there are some unknowns. Like,
right.
That are more than just, oh, isn't that interesting? Go off and take from it what you want.
Right.
So for me, this either has to be a mid-season finale or, you know, a season 10 finale with either a movie or another miniseries.
Something. Yeah, which would, I think a miniseries would be great. I really, yeah. I think these six episodes are awesome. Yeah. I really do. I mean, this was the first time they did it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they got a solid B.
I thought they nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was, I would even say, better than that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff. We both just went really, really high pitched.
I'm not one of those like crazy, like, you know, blind defenders of anything. I thoroughly enjoyed each and every episode.
I did too.
And watched all of them twice and some of them three times because, partly for the podcast, but also partly because there was so much and mm-hmm. it was so cool and it was just so great to see it again.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason I would give it a B is because there was stuff that I missed. There were mm-hmm. some episodes that were just so much packed in that it was...
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it would be great to watch an episode again, but I shouldn't feel like I have to. Mm. So there was a little bit of that, you know, which takes it down to a BB plus. Mm. And, you know, it was, and I hate saying this because it hurts because it makes me feel bad. Mm-hmm. But it's like if I have to pick my favorite Joss Whedon show, don't ask me because I feel like I'm not paying the other shows the stuff that they deserve because he's so yeah. amazing. But I have to say that. You know, if you're going to give me season 10 against the second movie, season 10 all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, the second movie is kind of like a D.
Still haven't seen it. I have it.
Don't bother.
No bother. No.
You have yeah, to. Have you have to. Because even for the to. Just for the Skinner scene,
and it's honestly
it.
What I'm trying to do is... my whole thing is to just, like, continue the rewatch and have the ramp
do it
up
in order.
To it.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if maybe in context and maybe a little closer proximity to the end of the rewatch, getting mm-hmm. to the end of season 9 again, and I say again like it's like a chore, but again, and then watching it closer, maybe it'll read better, maybe it'll play better.
Right. Well, you should finish
yes.
the series and then yeah. give it 7 weeks. which is the equivalent of the 7 years between the end of the show and the movie, right? And then there you go. You've kind of ratioed that math in a way that maybe your brain will understand. Yeah,
it's given me the breathing room to process and absorb it. Because, yeah, I mean, there are shows, we talk about this all the time at work, you know, the whole concept of binge watching. And when series have been written to have, you know, to be able to take that beat, take a week in between, absorb it, and so forth. And when people binge watch things, they're not absorbing. They don't have the time to let everything to kind of sink in.
No.
And they're watching it so quickly in such quick succession that they don't remember half the stuff that happens.
Right.
So now what's happening is writers are starting to adjust their writing style so that they have kind of these filler loss leader episodes in the middle. They're but at this point they're going to be, you know, every third episode, because people traditionally will watch one and be like, oh, that was so good, watch another. And then by the third one, they're like, oh, do we get popcorn now? Their mind wanders. And then they do the fourth.
Right.
So, you know, and they, you know, I think Netflix, although they don't give ratings or they don't give, they don't release their ratings or viewership for programming, because they don't have to, because they don't have advertisers to answer to. So that's not required.
Yeah.
But they do talk. They did do a thing. They do talk about like how many episodes people typically watch in a sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about which episode in a series got you hooked.
Oh,
and that is a fascinating find. If you can find that, I want to say they did that study. We were talking about that maybe 2.5 months ago, which is interesting.
Can I guess? Is it episode 3? I feel like it's episode 3.
It depends on the series. Like for Orange is the New Black, it might have been the second one. Mm-hmm. For House of Cards, it might have been the fourth. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the, but they can tell.
That is interesting.
Yeah, because it usually depends on, I think it has to do with drop-off or, you know,
drop-off pacing. And whether or not the show is, you know, like Daredevil probably has a much different way of figuring it out than a show that's a brand new, nobody knows the characters.
Yeah, and that one definitely was at least 4 or 5 episodes before people got it.
I've heard that, which is why I haven't watched
it. Which is why I've watched the first episode twice, and I'm like, okay, got to do this over again.
You know, I mean, I'm not a Daredevil fan. He's not just not a character I'm super into, so I don't have that drive to watch it anyway. Right. So once I heard that, I was like, meh.
Yeah. But I've heard so many great things about it, and I really want to watch Jessica Jones.
I know. I've heard wonderful things about Jessica Jones. And now What's-His-Face is playing the Punisher on Daredevil. I can't think of his name.
I'm picturing
from The Walking Dead. He was on the... Yeah. And he looks like a great Punisher. And I really like Punisher, so maybe I'll watch Daredevil now. Right. I don't know. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
TV's awesome is the point. Shows rule.
Uh-huh.
But that is absolutely true. I mean, when I watched... And I've had a conversation with Josh about this. When I watched Battlestar Galactica, so I didn't watch it when it was on. I watched the first Battlestar, the original show, on Sci-Fi years and years ago when they like brought it back for their first year of programming.
80s one.
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
It was only one season, and I watched that like late at night. But I didn't watch the new one when it was actually on the air. So about 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago, I binge watched. Oh my god! I think it's four seasons. Now I have to double check. I think it's 4 seasons. But I watched the entire series in like 3 weeks. Or I'm sorry, 4 weeks. Oh, I watched the entire series in 4 weeks. That sounds right. It was either 4 seasons in 6 weeks or 6 seasons in 4. I don't know. But I mean, I couldn't tell reality from like my dreams. I was like seeing flashes of weird shit all everywhere. I mean, the show is pretty trippy anyway, especially once you get towards the end of the series. But
yeah.
And it's true. When you're binge watching things like this, you know, stuff tends to overlap. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, a lot of people who weren't, like you said, didn't watch the original run of the X-Files and they're watching it now. They know the revival's coming. Maybe they just randomly found it on Netflix recently and became a fan. That does happen. Things do overlap and it's very easy to confuse, especially because, yes, the mythology is kind of heavy. So it is, I can understand.
Oh, and if you're not
missing some things.
Right. If you have it on in the background, if it's.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things. Even having seen, I'm going to say 90% of the episodes, because as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, I don't remember this one, but it's like, I remember like the three before and the three after. So I'm like, well, I definitely watched that season. they're, it's active viewing. It's not
absolutely
passive.
No.
And they're very dense. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, like, this is when, you know, that was 42 minutes of solid TV.
Very, very solid.
So much in there and so many details. And yeah, if you're not watching and listening at the same time, which, you know, like, again, there are plenty of things that I'll have on the background, like if I'm painting or sculpting or something like that, mm-hmm. and I've got my little, you know, got my little Kindle going or Netflix or Amazon or something. There are some shows that are lovely background. Like, apparently I didn't watch TV in the 90s, so I went back and watched all of Dawson Creek. I went back and watched all Party of Five. And what's the other one with all the pretty white people? Like, there's so many of them. But they're lovely, comfortable.
Party 5 is great. Party 5 is a great show. I loved that show hard.
It was. It actually was better than I give it credit for.
Also very heavy.
But yeah. So you just cannot do this.
No. And
even on rewatch, I can't do it.
Right. Right. And if you want to complain about the mythology, you go right ahead. Everyone has a right to an opinion. However, give me some backup to show me that you actually understand and know everything mm-hmm. about the mythology.
Right.
And you have a valid, mm-hmm. debatable
yeah.
issue with it. Yeah. Not just because.
Just defend like your opinion.
It, absolutely.
Just don't be a whiny bitch or Candy's going to come kick your ass.
Listen, this is sci-fi, guys. Okay. This is sci-fi. Very seriously. And whether or not it was intended to be so seriously science fiction when it started, mm-hmm. Whatever that might be, it is. And truly anything is possible. Anything can happen. And right. if, and I kind of almost question whether the people who haven't such an issue with the mythology are science fiction fans.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a science fiction fan, why are you watching the show? And if you're not watching the show because you like Chris Carter and what he's done with the show and the mythology and the characters, are you only watching it for Mulder and Scully? If you're only watching it for Mulder and Scully, only complain about Mulder and Scully stuff. Don't complain about mythology stuff, because if that's not why you're watching the show, why are you complaining about it? Did I just get like super like Inception just now? I went deeper and deeper.
It was a little funny. Like, there's a part of me that wishes we were actually recording this with the video so people could see the like the veins starting to bulge. No.
I am totally fine.
It's, you know, you have every right, you know.
Just as much as they have every right to bitch about the mythology.
But if they can defend it
right.
as, you know, as articulately and, you know, point by point, the way you are, bring it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, for example, I think the fact that CSM is still alive is ridiculous.
I agree.
I accept it because I love the X-Files, and I'm okay with it because I love the X-Files, but he was super exploded. It's ridiculous.
We saw Skull.
It's just...
We saw Skull.
Right. It's okay. We saw show was perfect.
Like, not just half the face peel off, not just that, all you know, one face. Third... All of it. Mm-hmm. All of it. But am I happy to see him and see him like finally have control of his own destiny?
Yes.
AKA our destiny.
Right. The destiny of everybody.
And to see him just kind of like click off a third of his face.
That was so cool.
Very, very
Be excited cool. that this kind of stuff yeah. happened, because
yeah.
that's great.
Yeah.
And I totally thought he died and that that weird rock mountain thing that has the right kind of metal to kill the super soldiers and the
Seriously.
And the explosions with
the
rockets.
Explosion was super intense.
It was
too.
Great. It was great. I mean, that took a lot of money.
Yeah.
That was a very serious. There were helicopters.
A lot of yeah.
All kinds of special effects. Lots of real fire. It was very intense.
Yeah. They probably blew half the year's budget on that one
right?
scene.
Big time, I'm yeah. sure, because a whole lot of weird stuff didn't happen in season
right.
9. There weren't like
No, it was more like, say, like a CSI or
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, Law and Order, so it felt more like a regular
yeah
or traditional, you know,
I mean, the
mystery or investigation show.
The Brady Bunch episode had some special effects and some
yeah.
some things like that, but
that was
for the most part they yeah. saved a lot on that yeah. explosion, and I just can't believe they brought him back from it. But hey,
yeah,
again, clicky face thing, worth it, right?
Oh.
You got to accept some of these things sometimes.
The bloody body bag. I was like,
oh, so gross.
Again, do not watch at lunch.
Wonderfully gross.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put this link up too. So there's this website that I found today called eatthecorn.com. And I'm gonna triple check this. I feel like it's all in X-Files. I might be wrong. It might be other things. But the person who runs it, who was writing, wrote a whole thing on season 10, every episode, extremely extremely articulate, perfect word. Everything that they write is great. They do a really nice breakdown of each episode. So check it out. It is all X-Files, and it's funny because it's Eat the Corn, get it? Because the corn with the bees and like...
Yeah, yeah. But it's like also, so the subtitle is Resisting into the Age of Aquarius, and then I think of Aquarius, which is right. David Duchovny's show. But I mean, the banner, you've got Scully, you have a cross, you have, you know, Mulder looking up to the skies.
My banner's different. Good job. Oh, this is a very serious.
And then the tram thing. Remember when he had chase her to the top of the mountain?
Yes, wait.
And race on the tram?
This is my banner. Totally different.
And I was going to, wow.
I know.
I wonder if we refresh if we're going to see different ones.
Oh my gosh, should we do it?
Screen cap first.
Screen cap first. All right, hold on. Okay. Command shift 4.
No, it's 3.
3?
Mine's.
Well,
yeah, 3. Command shift 4.
I didn't screen cap. I just took a picture of the banner. Command shift 3.
Well, then isn't it just control tap?
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're both going to refresh.
Here we go.
Sorry, this is totally inside, but this is totally. Totally different.
Oh my goodness.
First episode.
Oh, nice. And yeah. I've got something else. I've got the walking down the giant rows of all the like the weird filing room that runs like long shot. I've got the Erlenmeyer flask.
Yeah.
All right. So guys, check out Eat the Corn.
Yeah.
Not only do I think the URL is great, I think it's real smart and funny and witty. Very, very good content. There's a lot of information here.
But it does look like it's intermixed with other stories of alien abduction, because it says the following story is inspired by actual documented accounts.
And yeah, there's some other stuff
here's
here.
Here's one, the archival database project. So, okay. Interesting. I will have to... this is far too involved to just do a cursory look at. Like, this is going to take some...
Yeah.
This is like a good Friday afternoon project.
Right, bookmark it. Oh,
thank you for turning us on to this.
Absolutely. You know what? Thank you for the keyboard shortcut tip, number one. Number two.
I'm all about the shortcuts.
There are 3 apples, max on the table right now, and all kinds of things going on.
Well, okay, so my first thought about the different banners, I'm like, well, I'm not on my PC, I'm on my Mac. And yes, we are... You know, maybe we should post a picture of this dorkdom.
I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to take a picture.
Yeah.
You want to be in it? No, do that again. Do it again. No, don't hide behind your thing. All right, now I'll do
this
table.
She's saying, don't hide behind your pop screen, which is in front of the microphone.
Okay.
And I'm wearing a green sweater.
I'm wearing a green sweater.
I'm wearing a green.
Yeah, it's a lot of technology. Okay. See? Things change.
Yes.
Circumstances change. It all makes sense.
We evolve. Exactly. Our knowledge. I mean, if we didn't, again, the planet would be flat and all that horrible stuff.
So. All those things. Now, really, the next bit of this is Chris Carter and, mm-hmm. and the Chris Carter hate, which we've kind of discussed.
Yes. And you've
voiced my opinion.
Yes, yes.
Many times.
You've articulated your defense.
Yeah, it makes me real sad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Yeah.
I just don't get the extreme anger mm-hmm. towards someone who really created all of this to begin with. And
right.
and people are vehemently angry and he shouldn't be involved. And if we're going to do season 11, he shouldn't be there. First of all, never going to happen. So accept it. X-Files mm-hmm. Fox is mm-hmm. never going to do X-Files without Chris Carter. It's just not going to happen. So suck it up
mm-hmm.
and figure out a way to deal with it, because it Chris Carter is X-Files and mm-hmm. X-Files is Chris Carter, like it or not.
Yeah.
That is the part of the equation. You can't mm-hmm. have one without the other. There's this long running Tumblr post right now. What I'm going to do is just give the beginnings. So the UK is kind of just getting episodes.
That's right. You said they just got Babylon.
I think they got Babylon last week.
Ah.
So, or maybe it was even this week. I don't know, but they just got it and someone just reviewed it. And this is a person who has been reviewing things quite a bit. This is actually telegraph.co.uk is where this is happening. And it's the X-Files episode 5, Babylon. It's time to sack Chris Carter and 3 other things we learned. That's actually the title of the article. So people have been reblogging this on Tumblr.
Right.
And there's one person who, I will be honest, is probably a man. But this person does say one of the first things, and I do not agree with everything this person says. I'm not even going to go so far as to say the name. The first thing he says is, somewhere between 1999 and 2016, fandoms everywhere went from appreciating their show to assumed fascist ownership / control. That's kind of how it feels,
yeah,
man.
That kind of really nails it.
Right? I mean, a lot of the other things that he says are kind of snotty, but really, that's a very, very simple astute way to say exactly what's happening. And that is how it feels. It does feel like we feel like the fandom en masse feels like they have every right to dictate how something works. And oh my God, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I stopped watching Bones, spoiler, after Sweets died, because let's be honest, Booth and Brennan got together and it got kind of ridiculously boring. And then, I know, you can, it's funny. I'm just making it because it's a Fox show.
Okay, yes, yes.
It's a Fox show that was kind of one of the shows like to replace X-Files. X-Files was so huge for Fox, and then like they have done many shows since then that kind of tried to recapture that.
Oh my gosh,
and, you know, Booth and Brennan get together, the show kind of goes, you know, a little bit. I didn't mean to spit on your stockings. Yeah. And then
it's a pop screen.
I mean, I was really only watching because of Sweets, because of John Francis Daly, who's great. I love him. But then like he was written off the show and he died. And I was like, done. I'm not going to watch this anymore. You have every right not to watch it anymore.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And go ahead and don't watch it anymore. But don't keep watching and then complaining about the person that created the show that you love that changed your world. But you hate him because he's stupid. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, hate watching became like a national sport.
Yeah.
An active national sport, I'm going to say, like 3 years ago. And the first time I remember people actively hate watching, it was, oh my gosh, it was the first live musical that they did with, it was The Sound of Music.
Mm.
And people were shredding it as they watched it. I'm like, you haven't even watched it because you're watching it with critical eyes. You're not watching it as a consumer, as a person who's, you know, supposed to enjoy entertainment.
Right.
And it's like, I've had this discussion with my dad because he sees so many movies and he doesn't typically read, you know, reviewers or critics' comments because he'll go to see it anyhow. It doesn't matter. It's not going to change what he's going to see and he'll have his own opinion. However, then he'll, after the fact, read the critic's review and then maybe find some similarities or just say, I don't know what film they were watching. But I think people who are paid or who make it their job to review or critique programming, they don't watch it the same way as somebody who's just going to, you know, I'm not going to say casually, somebody who's just going to enjoy or absorb the media as one entire piece of content or an entire narrative.
Right.
They're so focused on catching every minute detail and, you know, commenting on it at the time that it happens and making sure they get everything down. They've never just absorbed, you know, the content. Like, it just, they've never let it just wash over them and been left with one feeling or the other. They're too busy analyzing it, you know, in an intellectual way.
Right.
Than just enjoying it on an emotional level.
Right.
So it's just, you just can't, you can't do both.
No, and it's hard to tell nowadays. Yeah. It really is. I mean, I know there are a ton of fans out there that are hardcore, long-term fans, and they're also equally, if not more so, out there speaking about all of these things. I completely get that, and I love those people, and I'm whether we agree on things or not, I respect that. But
the work that they're doing.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. But it is hard to tell. It's very hard to tell. You know, everyone seems to be watching things specifically for something to talk about on the internet.
Right.
And whether it's good or bad, it's typically bad because
that's the most engaging.
And that's what we're talking about.
That's the one that's going to get attention.
Right.
And I think also, for me, the reason that I need, you know, the one and two viewings is because, especially when it started, my anticipation and anxiety about it was preventing me from just enjoying it or just accepting it. I'm not saying it properly. It's kind of like I've seen Star Wars Force Awakens twice. Because the first time I was like so anxious. I'm like, oh, please don't suck, please don't suck, please don't suck. And as I'm watching it, it didn't suck. And I'm watching it, it didn't suck. I'm watching it, it didn't suck. And at the end, I'm like, oh my God, that was so great. I needed to see it again. Right. Just because I was like, I was so focused on wishing it not to suck.
Mm-hmm.
That I was not just letting, you know, the good or the bad sink in.
Right. You just were so happy by the end that, okay, it didn't suck.
I was so relieved. Right. So now I can pay attention and experience it the way, you know, the storytelling is meant to be experienced.
Right.
People don't let that happen because they want to be, you know, the first to, you know, say things about it. They want to be the first to say, point out where something is wrong. They want to be the first to say,
yeah,
you know, I'm so over this or whatever. You know, I don't know. There just seems to be more of a desire to be, you know, the naysayer.
Right. Right.
And it's almost like we're all too good for this now.
I understand the passion. Yeah. I do. Because, I mean,
and the protectiveness. We've talked about
right,
that.
Right. Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of people right now out there who kind of feel like, I've put so much time into this. You owe me what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth of it is, no, they don't.
Yeah.
I mean, this really was, and Chris Carter says, and some other people have said too, but, you know, this is a gift for the fans. And this was a gift for the fans. Yeah. It was six episodes that we shouldn't have gotten, mm-hmm. that came back out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
that premiered to wonderful ratings, and everyone's mm-hmm. watching it, and whether or not you like it, you're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was a nice little mm-hmm. post-Christmas present for everybody.
Right.
And that should be how it's seen. And, you know, all this negativity, certainly, you know, everyone thinks that, if they keep talking about it, plus the review or the ratings were very, very good, that we're right. going to get an 11th season or a movie or whatever. But, you know, yeah. you know, your naysaying
yeah.
probably isn't going to help that in any yeah. way. Like your constant complaining over,
yeah,
this isn't the way it should have been. Well,
and it, you know, it wasn't, you know, when it first aired, it wasn't written by, you know, popular demand. It wasn't, right. you know, the storylines and the, you know, the character development, the story arcs and so forth. They weren't written, you know, by crowdsourcing.
Right. It didn't become great because right. everyone had an opinion.
Yeah. And then the thing is, you know, if they try to be everything to everybody, they're going to be nothing to anybody. Like, it just right. doesn't work that way.
Right.
And so many people are going to want so many different things. And that's why, you know, half the people I talked to really enjoyed it and half the people I talked to didn't. Because their expectations mm-hmm. were that far apart.
Right.
And, yeah. So, yeah, I would love a movie, a miniseries, or another six episodes.
Oh, sure. Because, absolutely.
Again, that was a little bit more than just a question mark.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, no, I mean, it was a huge cliffhanger and you expect more.
Yeah. And but I'll never regret the time.
No.
And energy that I put into it. And from the sounds of it, it's still more rewarding and satisfactory than the second movie.
Yes.
So, yeah. 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 I think that's good. Anybody else you want to call out?
I don't think so. Yeah. There is something I did reblog, and I will say this person's name because they're pretty awesome, and I hope they don't mind. It's mm-hmm. Two bloggers I follow on Tumblr. One is Fox and Dana. The other is My Ass Broke the Fall, which is awesome. They're fantastic.
That's pretty awesome.
One of them is Fox and Dana, and someone said something to them, and they answered it. But basically, the anonymous person who sent a message was pretty much saying that what bothers them with the people who are critical of the revival, they're nitpicking too much to find mistakes and inconsistencies. And it looks like they're looking for these details to mm-hmm. pull apart, and they're missing the journey because mm-hmm. they're looking for reasons to
exactly.
be angry.
Yeah.
And Fox and Dana did respond that, like, you know, hey, you got to just enjoy it. You yeah. have to, because there are always going to be these people out there.
Right.
But we got the content. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy it.
Right.
Doesn't matter what anyone else says
right.
about it. And I think, you know, whether people are enjoying it or hating it for whatever reason, everyone pretty much seems to be
mm-hmm. Yeah.
developing their own opinions and doing their own things. And I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
I still hate all the naysaying. I mean,
again,
I super hate it.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what we were saying before. If you're too busy, you know, analyzing or micro-analyzing it as you're watching it, you're not experiencing the art in the story and the entertainment as it was intended.
Yeah, you're missing all the good stuff because you're focusing on all the bad. So, yeah. I mean, I really hope maybe people go back and watch.
I definitely benefited from several watches and would highly recommend it. And not to force the point of, you know, defending it, but just because it was very dense, easy to miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the subtle special moments are worth it.
Absolutely worth it. And you know, I think some people might maybe notice the subtle special moments and some people noticed like the inconsistent moments. And mm-hmm. maybe that says something about your personality. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
but, yeah. You know, we all definitely, because there was so much packed into each episode, we all definitely picked up on certain things that left an impression mm-hmm. on that one watch. Right. And we were, you know, we were all watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all felt like we had to watch it because if you don't watch it on Monday, then you're going to get spoilers on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Not go online all day, please. Like, that was going to happen. No, just because you're very good that you did that, okay? You're very serious. You're very good. No, you did a great job with Star Wars. You guys are amazing.
Oh, my God. That was... Oh, had I known that it was actually coming up before Christmas, I never would have agreed to waiting to see it with my dad after Christmas, right. You know, because we were still in California and then we were traveling to New England. So I love you, Dad. I know you're not listening, but it was worth it. I'm so glad. I'm so glad because it was to see it when we did the way we did. So amazing.
Yeah,
I don't drink a big Coke beforehand.
I'm envious. Is it super long? I mean, I already know what happens, but I can't believe I haven't seen it yet. Whatever.
Oh, I'll see it again.
Okay.
I will. Well, it's coming out in video on April. Well, it's streaming on April 1st and DVD on April 5th. So.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
God, that was fast.
I know.
Time is just flying by. Did you guys see Deadpool last week?
Yes.
Oh my God, did you love it?
From the opening credits.
From the moment. Oh, from the moment it starts. Goodness. It is so good. Everything.
It is. Can you believe he's never directed anything before?
No, he did. He did something. Yes. Yeah, but this movie is amazing.
From the opening credit. Okay.
Everything about it.
Go see it. Watch it from the opening credits. It's hysterical. Read every credit. It was wonderful. I knew very little except for the stuff that Candy gushed about. And as you notice, when Candy gushes, she goes a little off the rails.
Pretty serious.
And my brain is constantly trying to keep up, but usually three steps behind. But a lot of it came back to me as I was watching it. It was wonderful. It just the comic timing, the action sequences, the way the story unfolds, the way it ties together, the, you know, breaking of the fourth wall, you know, so many great things. And Ryan Reynolds, I admit, I am late to the party. I've known of him forever, but I'm late to the party. And my husband just gave me the snarky side eye because he's always been a big fan. And like, he's like, I don't know why you're so hard on him. I'm like, I get it.
Dude, see, so, and Kira. So I'm so sorry to shout out, like call out Kira again, but she doesn't get it. And I'm offended. Yeah. Like, what? I don't understand. Good. No, he was amazing. This is the perfect role for him. I'm so happy he stuck with it for 11 years to get this movie made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so good. And they do such a great job with the origin. And it's just so good. Anyway.
Well, obviously, we're going to have to find something else to geek out about. Because, again, this is our wrap of season 10 of The X-Files, the Mulder It's Us podcast. We don't know where we're going to go from here.
Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
Just to recap, David Duchovny just finished filming is filming
doing. Yep.
Aquarius, second season. Watch the first season. It's great. It's really, really, really good. And he's touring for his album right now. I want to say he's doing a UK tour.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening and you just so happen to be in that, you know,
maybe
across
he'll
the
be
pond,
British too. Maybe
give it a check.
Maybe he's going to accidentally British for
it
5 minutes.
It happens. Sometimes you fall into it.
Slips.
Jillian just did, I'm not sure if it's still airing, but she did just do a War and Peace miniseries.
Yes.
Which is
I've
supposed
heard
to be
it's
amazing.
Yeah. I heard Paul Dano is incredible.
It looks so, so good.
Yes. It's on my list, you know, once March finishes kicking my butt.
Big time. March is super busy. She actually has a whole bunch of stuff going on right now, like the fall and everything else, but
still on season one. But I do like it.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list. Oh. I know. I was told I have to watch it. She's also doing a voiceover work for a video game that I think is pretty awesome. That's in post-production right now, so that's pretty cool. Mitch Pileggi, again, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Doesn't matter. Sexy Dome. You know what? It's
just,
okay.
Just call us
Love
and
him.
Correct us. Just
totally.
Call
Mitch,
us,
listen.
Yeah.
If you want to give me a call and let me know that I've been totally fawning over you inappropriately and you need to discuss anything with me,
and
go
she's
right
a
ahead.
Strawberry blonde now.
It's pretty blonde.
Yeah, there you go.
He was in The Girl in the Photographs, which was Wes Craven produced. It's coming out very, very soon. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's actually coming out next month, both in select theaters, video on demand. It's a horror film. It looks great. It's getting great reviews, so check that out. And that's it. I think that's really it. I didn't check in on everybody because there's just so many people in this season.
Know.
It's a bit much.
But, I mean, fingers crossed we will see more of everybody some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Really, really. Yeah. But I'll be okay. I won't bitch about it if not.
Right. Right. And maybe we will. Maybe we'll do some more. There's a lot of, you know, DC seems to be finally catching up to Marvel. So maybe we talk about some of the DC stuff that's happening this year. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And there was something else that I thought about, but now I can't think of it. It'll come to me as soon as we stop recording here.
It's probably my fault because I'm
pretty
chatty.
It could be the 3 hours sleep I got last night. Yeah.
Who
knows?
Again, it's been a long 2016, really. March be damned.
Oh my gosh.
Long 2016.
Seriously.
I know.
But super fun and happy to be experiencing everything that's going on right now, including this. Candy, it has been
super fun.
So much fun. We've had these conversations before, casually to the wee hours of the morning. So to be able to sit here across from you and have everybody get to listen how awesome we are is... It's been pretty amazing.
I feel pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I do.
You should.
Really great.
Yeah.
Very good time.
And you called out them trolls. You know.
Listen, guys, I'm sorry.
You're righting internet wrongs one at a time.
Listen, you're fans, and I appreciate it, but damn.
Yeah. Well, as always, we would love to hear from you. Anybody out there, tell us we're crazy. Tell us we're awesome. Hopefully we're awesome. All that great stuff. Our email is MulderIt'sUs.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes at Mulder It's Us and X-Files Podcast. Twitter, Mulder It's Us. Candy's website, Candy Presents. And also follow each of us individually on Twitter, Candy at Candy Presents and myself at Jenny B. Creative.
Oh, I feel like sad music should be playing.
I know. Well, you know, we'll have the engineer.
Right. Pick something appropriate.
Cue, sweet, sappy, sad music. Well, I'm just going to say for now.
Right. Goodbye for now.
It's been the Mulder It's Us podcast, and I've been Jen.
I've been Candy.
All right. Good night.